They had stopped for lunch at the Peru Pizza House, a restaurant that's independently owned and has family-friendly policies. The sisters had checked ahead of time because family-friendly workplaces are something they advocate, along with a living wage, access for all to health care, affordable housing, and a pathway to citizenship for undocumented immigrants. Welcome to the Nuns on the Bus Tour 2016. Sister Simone Campbell, the founder of Nuns on the Bus and executive director of Network, a social justice group based in Washington, D.C., welcomed me on board.
It's pretty fancy. It's not something we're really used to, but for a long trip, it makes a difference. So we have comfortable seats.
The bus isn't anything like a tour bus. It's actually more like an RV with swivel chairs along the sides of the interior, a small kitchen area to brew coffee in, a conference room in the back, and a big screen TV, which the nuns say they don't have time to watch.
We read or we work on social media. We're usually on computers or our phones.
Sister Susan Francois from Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey, says the day usually starts with prayer.
Listening to where God might be speaking to us through the people that we've met, through the scripture of that day, just being open to that experience together and really helping to form community.
Sister Susan got a chance to practice the three-minute talk she was to give later in the day in Bloomington on better tax policies for families and the poor.
Sadly, our tax code, instead of prioritizing raising this revenue that we need for the common good, over the past 30 years has been perpetuating inequality and widening the gap. Pope Francis, I think, put it really well. He said, "It's not enough to let a few drops fall whenever the poor shake a cup, which never runs over by itself." It's not working, so what do we do?
The bus is hard to miss. Painted on its exterior is their Mend the Gaps logo, a map of their tour route, and a quote from Pope Francis that says, "A healthy politics is sorely needed." I had a chance on the drive to Bloomington to ask Sister Simone just what mending the gaps in our country means to the nuns on the bus.
Most often in our nation, we're aware of the income and wealth disparity. We studied, how did we get in this mess? And we discovered at Network that it was policies, conscious policy choices that were made in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, that resulted in this huge income and wealth disparity. We realized that if policies created the gaps, then policies can change the gaps. And so we developed 7 policy areas where we think it could make the difference in bringing our family, our nation, back together again. Income and wealth disparity, wages, and what we call family-friendly workplace, that care for families.
I saw in your literature that you're for a living wage. You don't put a number on it, but it's certainly not $8.25 as it is in Illinois.
Absolutely not. And the reason why we're not putting a number on it is because we now, with computers, have the capacity to figure out for each area what is a living wage in your area. So we suggest that we include what is a cost of living for a family, because it's really different in Mississippi than it is in Chicago. And so having the same minimum across the country doesn't reflect the costs that families face.
And family-friendly policies, what does that mean to you?
Well, it means places that have good employment practices, where workers have access to health care, to paid time off for sick leave, and where there is an investment in the community. And so, like being at the pizza place, there's good employment practices there, and we're delighted to be supportive of businesses that make a difference in their community.
You say that you are not a Democrat or a Republican, and you're Pope Francis voters. What does that mean to be a Pope Francis voter?
Well, Pope Francis was here in September in the United States, and he spoke strongly about the importance to being involved in politics, but to be involved in politics in a way that brings the needs of those who are most exploited, most marginalized, into the conversation. And so we believe that, following Pope Francis, that those who care about the needs of those at the margins are going to be the key in this coming election. And speaking for those who struggle those who are exploited means that we can't be just loyal to a party because no one party embodies all good policies. We have to be faithful to the people. And then I call us equal opportunity annoyers. I'll annoy the Democrats and I'll annoy the Republicans to care for those who we advocate for. I mean, that's why we're going to the Republican convention, is to hear people's perspective. Going to the Democratic convention to hear the same. What is your perspective? How do we come together?
Who will you be speaking with at these conventions? Are you going to corner the delegates, or what's your plan?
Well, at the Republican convention, well, at both conventions, actually, we have what we're calling a lemonade ministry. So we have two wagons that we're going to have big vats of lemonade on, and we're going to, you know, on a hot day, we're going to pull it around in the area where the walking area, and offer lemonade to people, hospitality. And then we're going to ask some questions, and each sister will have a clipboard, and we've got interview questions. So the three interview questions are, who in your family is it difficult to talk to about politics and why? The second one is, what worries you in this election cycle? And the third one is, what gives you hope for our nation? And then, doing it at the Republican convention and the Democratic convention, we're going to compare notes and see where we meet as a nation. And my hunch is that hope is quite similar. I have a hunch we may be worried about different things, but that it'll be very instructive to see what we find.
You did speak at the 2012 Democratic convention. It was a stunning moment, I'm sure, for you. Very memorable talk that you gave. Will you be speaking at either of the conventions?
No, I haven't been asked. I know there's a little campaign with the Democratic convention. I don't know if it'll happen. They usually don't set their agenda till real close, so it's still possible. But what we are doing is doing a breakfast at the Republican convention and inviting delegates to come to that, where we'll have a chance to pray together and to address our issues. And then the Democrats gave us three workshop slots in the convention center. So we're going to be hosting three workshops to lift up our issues, to do why mending the gap is so important, and then what our policies are to make a difference.
Right now, our country seems to be in the throes of dealing with a pressing issue, which is race relations, whether African-American citizens can trust the police, and whether law enforcement can trust going into African-American neighborhoods, and then the whole issue of the assault weapons that are so prevalent. Are you adding some of that to your discussions?
Yes. With regards to the issues of race and the divisiveness of what I call the original sin of our nation, which was slavery, the fact is the income and wealth gap for communities of color is even worse than among the Euro-American community. And our effort is to lift up the fact that the 100% are suffering because of this, but there's a special focus on the needs of communities of color. The real issue that I feel passionately called to address within this is the challenge of white privilege. And I've had to learn how privileged my life is to not have to worry if I'm stopped by the police that I'm likely to, that I could be shot. I don't have to have apprehension in a community, on the street. And that is something that my little thin skin covering gives me in our nation. We got to change that. It's not to end my privilege, but to extend the privilege to everyone. Everyone should feel safe in our nation and not threatened.
And Sister Simone, the gun violence, you're in a state where the city of Chicago is experiencing a 50% increase in homicides over the last year.
Exactly. And what we know is that violence comes as a result of fear and feeling threatened and feeling like there are no options. These are desperate communities, and violence becomes the answer. Our opportunity for making change there is to bring hope.
You're on your third city now with Bloomington Normal in your tour. You're just at the beginning of it, I realize. But what are you hearing from ordinary Americans?
Oh, last night after our thing in Madison, this young girl came up to me, and she's in college. She can only go to college part-time because she can't afford it. She's working. and she's terrified that she won't be able to finish school. And as she said, I won't have any hope, but it costs so much money and we just can't afford it. And hearing the worry of a young girl, a young woman, and I had told a story about a young woman I met who works for minimum wage and has to live in a homeless shelter in the DC area because she works full time, but she can't afford rent. And so Viera said, oh, that story, that could be me. It makes me really worried. And I thought, wow. At the time in her life where she should be most confident, most creative, most able to engage, she's worried and threatened. And that's what's going on in our nation.
We were talking with some ministers about the violence that's occurred in the last month in our country. And one of them made a point about there's a lack of prophetic voices in our country. In the 60s, you had Dr. King, you had Robert Kennedy. I'm wondering if the sisters are trying to be that prophetic voice.
I don't know that we're trying to be the prophetic voice, but it is a way in which, from my perspective as a person of faith, the Holy Spirit has called us to a surprising ministry. And this morning during prayer, one of our sisters brought up that she'd been praying over that. So often in the New Testament, it says, oh, and Jesus and the apostles got up and went. And she felt like that was us. We were getting up and going. We weren't exactly sure where, but as long as we do our part, we get up and go. For me, it's just about being faithful.
Thank you so much, sister.
Thank you. Great to have you. Glad you're with us.